Mr. Holland's opus, it's a very moving film. It tracks 30 years of a man's life as he raises a family and teaches high school music. But he goes beyond instructing his students. He basically pours his life into them. As the story unfolds, we discover that he took the teaching job because he couldn't make a living writing and performing his own music. And so his dream of composing a symphony was put on the back burner for more pressing matters. But it was always there, just beneath the surface, waiting, hoping. And then came the day when the music program at the high school was axed because of financial cutbacks. And as he struggles with being put aside by the school board after so many years, Mr. Holland is left questioning whether his life has mattered. He put his dream on hold to take up the daily goal of trying to impact the lives of teenagers through music, and now that too is gone. Do you ever feel that way? You ever feel that way? Maybe when it's quiet and everyone else is in bed, or when you're driving and you don't have to pay much attention, do you start thinking about where your life is headed? What you've done or what you haven't done? Do you ever pause and add up what your life amounts to and come up short? Do you sometimes just feel like a mouse in a cage on one of those wheels? And you're just turning that wheel. Life is like a treadmill of the same old, same old. You feel like you're not getting anywhere. You work hard, but it just doesn't feel like you're gaining any ground. You feel underappreciated. You feel overlooked. You feel underpaid. Or you even feel unnecessary. You know, there are so many versions of what Mr. Holland was going through. So many versions of it. Most people who take the time to reflect on their lives struggle with those kind of thoughts. If you occasionally say, well, what difference does my life make? Does anybody really know or care about me? Well, if you've occasionally said had those thoughts, then God has a word for you in Psalm 139. He wants you to see a different picture of your life. He wants to help you see your life from His perspective. Psalm 139, it highlights four truths. Four truths that if they're learned and they're trusted, they're guaranteed to cancel any personal pity parties that you may have planned for yourself. Four truths. Number one, God knows you intimately. God knows you intimately. Look at verse 1 down to verse 6 of Psalm 139. For the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. In those six opening verses, there's actually seven different words that David uses that just pile one on top of another to tell you that God knows you intimately. He says, You've searched me. He says, You've known me. You understand my thoughts. You comprehend my path. You're acquainted with all my ways. You've hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Seven words describing just the various ways that God knows and understands each one of us. God knows your heart. He knows your fears. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. He knows your dreams. And He knows, yeah, your frustrations as well. He knows your past. He knows your present and your future. He understands you. He notices what's going on around you. He knows what's happening to you. He knows what's going on inside of you. In fact, I've got to tell you, God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you intimately. Listen, He knows you intimately, and He still loves you. And I got to say, wow, praise the Lord. That He knows me that intimately, and He still loves me. Because I often have a hard time with me. And I know a bunch of people around me have a hard time with me. But God knows me that intimately, and yet He still loves me. And He loved me so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for my sins that I might have eternal life. When David says that God has laid His hand upon him, he's referring to that Old Testament practice of giving a blessing to someone. You see, in the Old Testament times, a father would place his hands on his children and he would speak words into their lives about who they are and who they will be, what their place in the family meant, and what their future will be. That was a very important event in the Hebrew family. The placing of a blessing, the laying on of hands. And in the same way, your Heavenly Father knows you so intimately, He bestows blessing on you, and that's all prompted by His love. It's not prompted by anything you've done, except to put your faith in Him. It's a blessing that highlights your place in His family. A blessing that highlights your place in His family and proclaims what your future is really all about. And our future is really all about God's kingdom and eternal life. That's what it's all about. And in God's family, listen, in God's family, there's no such person as a no one. There's no such person as a no one. Let me ask you a question. Do you know who David Tyree is? Anybody here know who David Tyree is? T-Y-R-E-E. David Tyree. Anybody here know who he is? Probably not. Well, let me tell you something. Until February 3rd, 2008, this year, until February 3rd, 2008, Tom Brady owned the NFL. He was the league's MVP, and his New England Patriots were two touchdown favorites to become the only team, only the second team in history to go undefeated. Conversely, few people even knew David Tyree was in the NFL. Until Super Bowl 42, Tyree was little more than a special teams player who only had 5 catches during the entire season. In fact, he had twice as many tackles as catches. But in the Super Bowl, he caught a touchdown pass, and then he caught what's now known as the pass. With just 1 minute and 15 seconds left in the game, and his team trailing by 4 points, Tyree made one of the most significant catches in NFL history. He leaped high into the air, pulled down Eli Manning's desperate third down pass, and he pinned it to his helmet and inconceivably maintained control of it while New England safety Rodney Harrison was trying to mug him as he came down. It set up the game-winning touchdown and one of professional sports' biggest upsets. Before February 3rd, 2008, David Tyree was, by anyone's account, a rather insignificant player in the NFL. He will now be indelibly remembered for the way he helped make history on the gridiron. The Apostle Paul made note of a very similar truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talked about the church. It contains people who may not seem significant today, but their importance may ultimately surprise everyone, even themselves. God knows you, and He knows you intimately. Number two, God pursues you faithfully. God pursues you faithfully. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 139. David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to you." God pursues you faithfully. When David thought about God's thorough knowledge of him, when he thought about that, just how God knew him in such an intimate way, it was just too overwhelming to him to handle. And his thoughts turned to getting away from that kind of intimate knowledge. And he started thinking, where can I get away from God? Where can I hide? Because you know what? When you begin to think of those things, thoughts can come up like, you know, if he knows all that, then he knows I'm a hypocrite. He's heard me lie. He saw what I did yesterday and last week. He knows all those things. Where can I hide? But you know what? God won't let you run away. He won't let you run away. David said, he tracks me down. He tracks me down. But not to point out what's wrong or exact some kind of justice on me. No, he's determined to give me grace. He's determined to be involved in my life. And that's why God pursues us. He knows us intimately and he loves us anyway. He pursues us and he does it faithfully, but he does it for our good. He does it for our good. I mean, do you know what that means? That means that you are wanted by God. You are wanted by God. Over and over again, that's affirmed. We're called God's beloved. We're called God's chosen. We're called His dearly beloved children. We're told that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so, let me tell you something. When you feel like you wouldn't even be missed if you were gone, when you feel loneliness pressing in on you, remember this, that God loves you and He pursues you. He wants you. He wants you in His family and He wants to be in your life. Marianne Bird wrote that when she was growing up, she knew that she was different. "And I hated it," she said. "I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, 'What happened to your lip?' I'd tell them that I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow, it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored, Mrs. Leonard. She was short, round, a happy lady. Annually, we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally, it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something and we would have to repeat it back. things like the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? I waited there for those words that God must have put in her mouth, those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, "I wish you were my little girl." And that kind of love and desire is nothing compared to what God has for us in His pursuit of us. We sing that song, "Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He do? Oh, how He loves you and me." You see, God wants you for Himself. And then number three, from this psalm, God made you personally. God made you personally. Look at verse 13. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." Stop right there. Just pay attention to those words. Pay attention to those words. It was God who knit you together in your mother's womb. It was God who did that. It's a picture of the intricate attention to detail of a seamstress. The seamstress creates a garment. And after God made you, guess what? He threw away the mold. You're one of a kind. Right down to your fingerprints. As the old saying declares, God don't make what? No junk. He don't make no junk. God, He made you personally. You know, the most powerful computer right now, the most powerful computer in the world currently is the IBM BlueJeanE that's housed at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California. Listen, how powerful that computer is. It can perform 280 trillion calculations in a second. 280 trillion calculations in a second. But that's nothing compared to the computer that they're trying to put together at the Department of Energy's Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. Components for this supercomputer began arriving in the fall of 2006. 36 moving vans full of equipment were needed to complete it. By the time it's finished this year, 2008, the computer will fill a room the size of a hockey rink and will consume as much power as a small town to operate. And the goal, said the other computer did 280 trillion calculations in a second. The goal for this computer is to do 1 quadrillion calculations a second. How fast is a quadrillion? A quadrillion is roughly a billion times faster than your desktop computer that you may have at home. A billion times faster. But listen, that's nothing. The human brain processes information even faster than that. Scientists estimate that the brain carries out 10 quadrillion operations a second. 10 times faster than a computer the size of a hockey rink. God's done some pretty good knitting, hasn't He? There's no one in history like you. He gave you a personality. He gave you some abilities that you were just born with. He then gave you, in Christ, spiritual gifts. And He gave you a particular purpose that sets you apart for Him from everybody else. You are His treasured creation, made in His own likeness, in God's image. God knows you, He wants you, and He made you. And finally, number four, God planned your life. Look at verse 16 again, the second part of it. It says, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. What's David saying there? Well, you know what he's saying there? The script for your life was already written by God. The script for your life was already written by God, that the Lord has carefully mapped the details that will fill your days, ordaining what will and will not happen. The Hebrew word that the Holy Spirit had David use there is fashioned. And it indicates that God has created each day of your life. That detail, the circumstances, the boundaries, and the opportunities, and He created them all for His glory and for your good. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think of toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But you know what? God, He doesn't just set the plan in motion and then look the other way. His thoughts are on you constantly, day and night. He loves your company, and He has a specific plan for your life that only you can fulfill. I got a $100 bill here. I had to borrow it for the illustration. Couldn't find one in my pocket. But I got a $100 bill here. You know, if I offered it to you, you'd take it. But what if I ball it up and throw it on the floor? What if I came over and stomped on it and kicked it around? Would you still want it? Would you still take it? Sure. And do you know why? Because this bill has value because of what it is and not what it looks like. Its value is in what it is, a $100 bill, not what it looks like. A crisp $100 bill has the same value as a worn out, old, dirty, used one. There may be times when you feel like you've been stepped on, times when you feel like you've been beat up, times when you feel like you've been just kicked around. You may feel dirty, unworthy, useless, but you know what? You matter to God. You know, maybe your parents have said words that continue to ring in your ears to this day. Or maybe they didn't say the words that you were longing to hear. Maybe your spouse has rejected you in some way. But let me tell you this, don't let what another human being does define who you are. Don't draw conclusions about yourself based upon them. You need to look higher, because you matter to God. And you matter to God so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for you to come and die for your sin. You're cherished by Him. And you're His, if your faith is in Jesus Christ. And that's forever. So when you feel like your life maybe hasn't mattered or doesn't matter, when it doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere and it seems like, boy, I'm wasting my time, would I be missed if I wasn't here? Know that God loves you. Know that He knows you intimately. He pursues you. He made you. And He has plans for you.